eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in to Take Command, a podcast that is recorded on the internet, which is great. The internet's a wonderful place, but it can also be an awful place. And it's also sometimes a place that doesn't work great. And unfortunately, as if you're watching this on YouTube, you see I'm in the official Take Command hostage studio recording this special introduction. Probably get the sense that something perhaps went wrong along our journey today. Logan's internet was not cooperating for the back half of the podcast. And normally the software that we use covers for that in a way that's great and fantastic because technology is wonderful. And for some reason today, that didn't happen. The good news is the knowledge is still there and it mostly sounds fine. In fact, if we hadn't done this very silly little introduction, chances are you wouldn't have noticed outside of a blip or two, especially if you're listening. You're watching the videos, not going to be the greatest on Logan's side of the screen, but that's okay. You don't watch this to stare at our beautiful faces. You watch it for football information, and there is plenty of that. So we humbly ask you to just bear with us through this. And again, it mostly, for the listening purposes, will not make a lick of difference, but we did want to be human and transparent and acknowledge it, that even we cannot control the internet. And thus, here is today's edition of Take Command.
Now going to take an opportunity to look around the rest of the NFL. There was 852 moves, Logan, that happened in free agency. Did you know that?
That seems like a made-up number, because it is.
It's because it is. It's 100% I made that up. But it is nonstop the last couple of days, the last week, really, since the tampering period opened, and so much movement around the league. It's funny because a couple of podcasts I listened to like a day later and I'm like, oh, you missed a ton of important stuff. It's funny. I listened this weekend to New Heights, the Kelce Brothers podcast that was from Wednesday. And you know, what happened between Wednesday or Tuesday when they recorded and Sunday when I listened was like an absolutely ridiculous amount of movement, but also what they covered on that podcast. There was so much. So we'll take a kind of a wide look real quick on some high level moves or some, you know, in the division moves. And then there's kind of a theme that I think has started to develop that Logan and I want to dive into real quick. Then we'll wrap the podcast talking about kind of where the Commanders go towards the draft. But obviously Kirk Cousins, a name that a lot of people still pay attention to around here, and he's the biggest move of free agency. So quickly, what do you think of Kirk going to Atlanta, the fit, reuniting with Raheem Morris and some familiar faces down there with the Falcons?
You know, when Kirk goes to Atlanta, like, I'm not surprised by that at all. It just seems like the most natural fit for him. I think, you know, like when you look at the playmakers, when you look at the offensive line, when you look at a defense that's young and kind of growing, it just is a classic Kirk move, I guess. You know, a guy that's like really well informed and really well researched in terms of his opportunity. His wife's from there. He's got family down there. Like, it's perfect, you know. And I think, like, in that, and the other thing that's important, I think, is like in that division, like they are now a playoff contender just by him going there. And I think that's ultimately what he's looking for, is like opportunities to make pushes in the playoffs with young, talented rosters. They still have pick eight. They're going to get a lot better with that. So to me, it just feels natural, you know, that this is like the opportunity he chooses. And they play in the dome. There's a lot of games down there in the dome. There's no bad weather football games. I know those are things he considered throughout. Like a lot of people had him going to Pittsburgh, and I was like, no way he goes to Pittsburgh, because that division's a nightmare and they play outside all the time. So I think he found like kind of the perfect resting spot or perfect opportunity for him to make a lot of money, obviously, and play good football. So
yeah, I think it's a great fit. I mean, he's got weapons, and his best attribute is to be a distributor. Like, you don't necessarily want him to go have to make a bunch of plays, but if you need a guy who can reliably get weapons the football, Kirk Cousins is pretty darn good. At least Kirk Cousins pre-Achilles. We'll see. Obviously, that's a big what if in all of this. But assuming that he is healthy and assuming that he returns similar to the form he's had in Minnesota, get the ball to Kyle Pitts, get the ball to Bijan Robinson, get the ball to Drake London, like get the ball to those dudes. They added a couple more guys. I mean, they just traded for Rondale Moore, low-key, phenomenal move. Dude's nasty. So like, they've also got some good players on defense that they brought in last year, guys like Jesse Bates. Let's say they used the eighth pick on a guy like Dallas Turner or an edge rusher, and all of a sudden they've got that with Raheem Morris, you know, coordinating the defense. Like, that team could be pretty good. And if Kirk, this has always been my thing with Kirk going back to when he was here. If he can get hot at the right time, you can win a Super Bowl with him. Is he the first guy that I'd pick? Absolutely not. But could he Joe Flacco it? Could he just get stupid hot in the playoffs, and with the right team around him and some other things going right, could you win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins? Yeah, if that's the formula, it involves some amount of luck, but that's the formula and it's possible, and Atlanta is a great place for that. Speaking of Pittsburgh, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields now there. This is interesting because I think a lot of us think of Arthur Smith's offense is really benefiting from the quarterback run stuff, and clearly it has at times in the past. But I think a lot of NFL observers look at both Fields and Wilson as bad fits with him for kind of the type of thrower that he looks for, even if the quarterback run stuff is there. What do you make of those two guys? Russ is the starter, Fields is the backup, going to Arthur Smith.
Well, I think one of the reasons they say that is because, you know, they have a hard time traditionally throwing the ball over the middle of the field. Like, obviously, Russell Wilson is this dynamic playmaker that's a little off schedule, that, you know, finds his throwing windows through his athleticism. And that's just not how Arthur, the offense, and how, like, think of it, it's more like a Kyle Shanahan offense, where it's like, here's a spot, let's throw to the spot, here's your footwork, be on time, get the ball out. Like, that's not really who Russell Wilson is. And I think when you look at his time in New Orleans last year, I think he has the ability to get that kind of stuff done. But it's just not what he majors in. And same thing with in Denver. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, I was thinking Sean Payton. That's why. So in Denver. So obviously, like, he can do it, but it's just not like his forte. Same thing with Justin Fields. And so I think unless you're trying to I've always been intrigued by Justin Fields to Arthur Smith because of how well they coached the run game in Atlanta, because they had essentially five first-round picks on the offensive line that were all really good, all really physical. They had dynamic backs. They had receivers that would block. So just adding that element basically turns you into like the single wing or triple option in high school football. And that's really hard to stop at any level. However, like, you don't want to be living in that full time. You need to be able to work play action off of it. You need to be able to find these opportunities down the field. And that's not what works for, you know, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson traditionally. Now, I do think they can get there. I think Arthur Smith is a really good coach. I think he can be, from what I've heard and understand, can kind of difficult to deal with. But I think he's got a high standard. He knows how to get that offense communicated. And I think he can get him there. But I understand that kind of high level thought that, hey, like, we in Kyle Shanahan's offense, when Arthur Smith's offense is a version of that, it's his own version, but it's very, very similar. We run the football to set up play action. We stretch the defense horizontally. We attack the middle level of the defense. And, you know, when you watch Russell Wilson, when you watch Justin Fields, that's not traditionally what they've been excellent at. So,
yeah, both guys have a ton of arm strength. Russ is one of the best deep ball throwers in the modern history of the league. So the idea that you can take shots down the field certainly seems like something you could do with Russell Wilson, but that timing and precision, especially over the middle of the field, like that, Russ threw over the middle of the field less than any other quarterback in the league last year. And more than half less, if you will. So I think, like, just to get straight to it, like Ritter was like 12.5% over the middle of the field, I think, in terms of distribution. Yeah. And Russ was like 5%, I think were the numbers. Right. So definitely different. But I also think I think Pittsburgh's gonna be pretty freaking good. Like, you get competent QB play there with that defense and what they've had the last couple of years. They win 9 games a year no matter what. And now they got competent QB play and potentially electric QB play.
I don't think it's bad. I just think it's like one of those things where it's like, is the fit supernatural? No, but I do think you have a guy in Russell Wilson who's played a lot of football, seen a lot of football. And I think when you look at, like, even your quarterback evaluation, like coming out of the draft, guys that have seen more stuff tend to be more effective in the NFL. And Russell Wilson's seen a lot of stuff. And so just about now, can Arthur Smith build an offense that speaks to his skill set? And can Russell be okay being a passenger on a team that, like you said, is very, very talented? They're going to get more talented because they've got him at, you know, what is that? What is his contract value? Like 1.5 this year?
Yeah.
So they can add a whole bunch of free agents and build that team around him. And they have some dynamic playmakers. So, yeah, there's a great opportunity there for him to be pretty dynamic.
Yeah, no, without a doubt.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, NFC East, definitely some interesting moves. Not really from the Cowboys. They have done basically nothing. They signed Kendricks, the linebacker who's in Minnesota and other places. I think it was most recently with the Chargers. But outside of Eric Kendricks, they haven't really done anything because they are not in a great salary cap place. And they are very much trying to make sure that they do not commit money long term so that they can redo Dak's deal potentially, but sign guys like Parsons, CeeDee Lamb coming up next year or over the next year. Philly, they did some stuff. Saquon Barkley is the highlight, but Bryce Huff comes in on the defensive side. And then the Giants obviously make the big trade for Brian Burns. They also sign a couple of interior offensive linemen. Anything you particularly like or dislike from the rest of the NFC East?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Saquon pick is like really interesting. And like, how do they use him? You know, I've heard a lot of people make the comparison. Oh, like they're just trying to keep up with the San Francisco 49ers. And I'm not sure I see that, you know, and it's like, in the offense that they were running previously, like the back was kind of a passenger, right? The offensive line kind of, you know, drove the car there, and the quarterback run game elevated the running back, and they can kind of put whoever they wanted in there. So I'm really curious to see what this looks like with Saquon back there. Like, do they kind of change their approach? Do they emphasize the running back more? Are they trying to deleverage Jalen Hurts? Like, what's going on? So that's something I think is really interesting. Obviously, Bryce Huff is a dynamic football player. I think he's got the highest pass rush winning percentage of any, you know, he's top three behind like Myles Garrett and like Micah Parsons. So what's he look like with a bigger role? And I think that kind of fits, you know, initially I wasn't sure how that would fit, but I think it fits with Philly's vision of just kind of being excellent across the defensive line and creating wins. And then you mentioned New York. I think the Brian Burns trade is really interesting. Like his value, how it's decreased over the last couple of years is interesting, but also I think the investment in interior offensive linemen, not only for the Giants, but across the NFL has been pretty fascinating. So something, again, that we can talk about here more in a second, but just that whole process of kind of emphasizing interior offensive line play, obviously pass rushers are extremely valuable. And then running back, which is a position that isn't considered tremendously high value, especially for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, getting some money there was kind of interesting, I thought.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that larger picture piece you're talking about is actually, ironically enough, was something referenced by Ron Rivera, I think, in his interview with Keim after he had gotten fired. And John asked him about Eugene Shen and like, hey, since Eugene came in, of course, the Commander's director of football analytics, I think is his title.
Yeah.
The analytics guy. He might be like a senior VP it's senior VP of football strategy and analytics. Anyway, the point is, he's very smart. And he was around the Ravens organization for a long time, as well as some others. And Ron said that when Ron took over, they were really focused on trying to build up the lines, the trenches, which is kind of this traditional method of like, we got to build inside out football team. And it's a very horizontal in terms of your layers. Like think about your defensive line, you go back a horizontal layer, and then it's your linebackers, and then you go back and it's your defensive backs, right? Your three layers of the defense. And when Shen got there, they're like, no, we're going to build through the spine. We're going to focus on going vertically, if you will, dividing the field inside and then out. And that has been, I think, a way to build successful football teams in this league for a long time. When you look a little bit deeper and kind of check your framing of things, you think about the San Francisco 49ers and what they've got on their D-line. Obviously, Fred Warner at linebacker, Tufunga, and some of the safeties they've had over the years have been hugely, hugely important to their success. You know, your tight ends become really important. You think of Kansas City, and Travis Kelce is kind of the centerpiece of their offense outside of the obvious of quarterback and Mahomes, but they built it. They chose Travis over Tyreek Hill because building through the center was more important to them. And so I think that when you look at the investment that, you know, Carolina made in their offensive line, that New York made in their offensive line, and some of the money that's been spent in the middle of these teams, you know, obviously the Commanders, Luvu, Wagner on the defensive side, they've already got Allen and Payne, but Jeremy Chan is a safety. Like a lot of teams have really focused on like how we got to be really solid through the middle. And I don't know the full reasoning. It'd be fun to talk to some folks who kind of come from this background and understand it a little bit more of the reasoning why behind this. But I think you are seeing some of the money start to flow that way, defensive tackles, interior offensive line, et cetera, versus some of the more traditional positions that have gotten a lot of money in the past.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's, when you think about it, just kind of take a step back and think about it, it makes sense. You know, like I think when you think about building through your lines, I think obviously it's important to have good defensive line play. Like look at the Philadelphia Eagles, like they've kind of made that their mantra for the last 10 years, you know, and they've always been pretty successful at that. I think there is value there, but the problem is you can't do that at the expense of the rest of the roster, you know? And I think when you look at, you know, Washington, obviously they had four first round picks invested in the defensive line, but they had no depth behind them, right? So you're really like counting on that group to just maximize everybody else. But I think when you look at, again, you mentioned the 49ers, the Ravens, you know, Detroit to a certain extent, they have a good piece at the linebackers. But I think the problem with the linebacker and building through the spine, as you say, is finding linebackers. Like they're just not a lot of good ones, you know? And so I feel like the Washington should be very grateful that they found Luvu, because I think he is a guy that's going to be very dynamic at the middle level of the defense. Obviously Warner's one of the best linebackers. He's a Hall of Fame player at this point of his career. You know, like having that kind of influence there is really, really important, right? Because it changes how offenses attack you. I don't think it's an accident that like Arthur Smith, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, all of these West Coast derivatives are attacking the linebacker level of the defense, the linebacker strong safety level of the defense, because it's hard to find players that can fit the run and then drop into coverage and fill those roles. So it makes a lot of sense to me, you know, in terms of kind of filling that. I also think, you know, we mentioned the guard thing. I think the guard thing is also really interesting, because when you look at smaller quarterbacks, for example, you need depth to the pocket. When you look at old New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees, like they invested a ton of money in the guards so that the quarterback could see what the heck was going on. And I think that's what you see with Carolina. I think that's a big element of it. Also, I do think that if you look at this year's draft, there's a lot of tackles, right? And tackles traditionally are harder to find from like a body type standpoint. But I do think the importance of interior guard play is maximized, like you said, through like the Kansas City Chiefs. Like they made a big investment in center, both guard spots. And those guys have elevated Patrick Mahomes because they allow him to step up into the pocket and make plays and do the things that he does so well. So I think the guard thing is starting to make sense in terms of there's going to be a scarcity in terms of the draft. You need to prioritize that, especially for a smaller quarterback and Bryce Young. But the linebacker thing, I think, is also super interesting because everyone knows that's important. You just can't find guys consistently to get that done. Like, that's why the Warners, you know, the Luke Kuechlys are so special, because they come along so infrequently.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Just because it's important doesn't mean that there's, like, you wind up having a supply and demand issue, basically, is the short version of that. And, you know, the Commanders obviously get Wagner. It's not Bobby Wagner 5 or 10 years ago, but he's still real good. Led the NFL in tackles last year with 186. But you see what the difference a guy like he's made over the years, a guy like Warner. And we'll see, you know, some of these other players that have signed for decent deals around the league. You know, what difference can Patrick Queen make in Pittsburgh, for instance? He's a really interesting case study. He got a lot better when Roquan Smith got to Baltimore and started calling the signals and getting everybody on the same page. So what is he in Pittsburgh without Roquan Smith there in Baltimore? All right, that's kind of our free agent roundup for around the league. The next part will start with a disclaimer.